Welcome to His Word Heals. You can visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com. The anti-Messiah scapegoat vomit and tribulation. That's what we're going to talk about today. And a lot of it's coming from this week's Torah portion, which I think is a very timely Torah portion, considering that next Shabbat, May 6th, 2023, is actually the second Passover. So today's Torah portion, we go over a lot of the rules and laws laid down by Yahweh, the rules for His kingdom, the instructions for how to live together with one another and how to honor Him. We will start out today's message by comparing Leviticus to Revelation. We will also discuss the relationship of the end times anti-Messiah to the scapegoat. And then we will take a look at who will be vomited out and why. We will be comparing and defining the end through understanding what has been said since the beginning. If you find value and merit in this message, this warning, please share it with others by giving them our website, www.hiswordheals.com, and then they can go to our blog page to see this and all of our other programs as well. We're going to start out by reading about Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and the two goats in Leviticus 16, starting in verse 7 through verse 26. He shall take the two goats and present them before Yahweh at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, speaking of Aaron or the high priest. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for Yahweh and the other for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which Yahweh's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before Yahweh to make atonement upon it and to let it go as a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before Yahweh, with his hands full of sweet incense beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And this should sound familiar to those of you who have read Revelation, and we'll compare this to Revelation later in this program. And he shall put the incense on the fire before Yahweh, and the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side, and before the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is the goat to Yahweh, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. He shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all of their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before Yahweh, and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull, and some of the blood of the goat, and put it on the horns of the altar all around. There were four horns on the altar, so he's to put the blood on the four horns of the altar before Yahweh. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, cleanse it, and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, which is the scapegoat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to the uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. He's supposed to release it alive. Then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of meeting, shall take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. He shall wash his body with water in a holy place, put on his garments, come out, and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. The fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar. And he who released the goat as the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. So to sum that up, there are two goats taken. One is a scapegoat that is supposed to be sent alive into the wilderness with all of the sins of Israel upon itself, and the other is a goat to Yahweh that is to be sacrificed to Yahweh. And the blood of the goat is to be sprinkled by the finger of the priest 7 times. The Feast of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, is very comparable to Revelation. Revelation's 7-year tribulation and those who die during the 7-year tribulation can be pictured by the blood of the goat to Yahweh being sprinkled 7 times by the high priest. The goat to Yahweh dies while the scapegoat lives in exile. Let's compare this to the story of Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was sent out to live in exile in the wilderness. Isaac was a picture of the goat to Yahweh, who was to be killed by Abraham as a sacrifice. However, we know the story that Yahweh provided a ram instead to be a substitute for Isaac. The ram, of course, is a picture of Yeshua, who takes the goat to Yahweh's place. He died in place of us, in place of Isaac. Isaac then became a sheep. He was no longer a goat. Isaac could have argued, he could have fought, he could have escaped his elderly father, but he was a picture of the obedient son, a picture of Yeshua, who willingly laid down his life and was going to allow his father to sacrifice him to Yahweh. But Yahweh provided himself a ram, which means he provided Yeshua as a ram in Isaac's place, in all of our place. But because of Isaac's obedience and faith, he became a sheep. Then Abraham and Isaac are also a picture of the Father and the Son. But this is not the beginning of the picture of the two goats of Yom Kippur. Let's go back to the very beginning, where we have Cain and Abel. Cain killed his brother Abel and was sent out into the wilderness, was sent out away from the presence of Yahweh, alive, with his sins upon himself. He was a picture of the scapegoat. Abel, who died at the hand of his brother, was a picture of the goat to Yahweh. Then along comes Seth. He is a replacement for the promised seed. He is a replacement for Abel. He is a picture of Yeshua, who is the promised seed, who takes the place of the goat to Yahweh. Seth took the place of Abel, who died. But because Yeshua takes our place, the place of the goat to Yahweh, there is a promise for Abel and for all those who have passed away that Abel will be resurrected. He will not remain dead. Okay, with all of that in mind, so historically, what did the priests end up trying to do, or what did they end up doing to the scapegoat in the wilderness? Instead of just turning the scapegoat loose, they started taking the scapegoat to a certain place, to a cliff, and pushing the scapegoat over the cliff, making sure that the scapegoat died in the wilderness so that it would not come back into the camp. When Cain was exiled or sent out into the wilderness as the scapegoat, what was he afraid of? Genesis 4:15. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And Yahweh said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him 7-fold. And Yahweh set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. The scapegoat was to be sent into the wilderness alive and was not to be killed by mankind, just as Cain was sent into the wilderness by Yahweh alive and also not to be killed by man. Now let's fast forward to the split of the northern and southern kingdoms. Israel, the northern kingdom, was sent into exile away from the land, out into the wilderness, if you will. So Israel, the northern kingdom, became a picture of the scapegoat. Judah, the southern kingdom, would be the goat to Yahweh, who stayed or didn't get divorced. Israel, the northern kingdom, was divorced, according to the prophets, and sent out, while Judah, the southern kingdom, represented the goat to Yahweh. However, Judah as the southern kingdom, when Yeshua came along to be the ram to take their place, where they could become sheep, they refused or rejected Yeshua's substitution. For the most part, anyway, many Jews, of course, did accept Yeshua, and they became sheep, and then they were told to go out into the wilderness and find all of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. All of those who would accept the good news of Yeshua Messiah would no longer be the scapegoat in the wilderness either. They would be grafted back into Israel, and Yeshua would take their place as well. So Yeshua came to take the place of the scapegoat, as well as to take the place of the goat to Yahweh that was to be sacrificed. This is a very quick summary of the scapegoat throughout Scripture. There are many more examples, which you can find those on a couple of other programs that we did a while back on our website, www.hiswordheals.com, on the blog page. And those programs are titled Two Goats, Two Brothers, and Two Brides. Fast forward to the anti-Messiah in the book of Revelation. He will be a religious figure who will persecute the woman and her offspring in the wilderness. He will attempt to kill all of the scapegoats out in the wilderness so that they cannot return to Israel, to Yahweh, cannot return back to the land. Just as the priests killed the scapegoat in the wilderness when they were not supposed to kill the scapegoat in the wilderness, it was supposed to remain alive. But that is a picture of what the anti-Messiah will do. He will attempt to kill the scapegoat in the wilderness, the remnant of the seed of the woman. The 144,000 in Revelation are the sheep. They are the first fruits of the sheep, which are scattered to the four corners of the earth. They will be gathered first and will represent a much larger congregation. They are the sheep, but those who remain in the wilderness and die in the wilderness, most likely at the hands of the anti-Messiah and his followers, are the goats, the scapegoats, that die during the tribulation. Now let's compare Leviticus chapter 16, verses 12 through 16, to Revelation chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before Yahweh with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before Yahweh, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. And then it goes on to say that he's supposed to take the blood of the bull and of the goat to Yahweh and sprinkle it seven times before the mercy seat. See if this doesn't sound familiar or comparable. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour, and I saw the seven angels who stand before Elohim, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before Elohim from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So then those who die during the 7 years of tribulation, during the seven trumpets, are pictured as the priest sprinkling the blood of the goat to Yahweh before the mercy seat seven times. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 17, there shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. Leviticus 17, after the high priest comes out of the holy place where there is no person, he sprinkles the blood of the bull and the goat on the four horns of the altar, and again sprinkles some of the blood with his finger seven times to cleanse and consecrate the altar from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And that was through verse 19. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And this is where he puts his hands on the live goat, transfers all the sins of Israel, and then sends the live goat, or the scapegoat, out into the wilderness to an uninhabited place where he releases it alive. Revelation 15, verses 5 through 8. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chests girded with gold bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of Elohim, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of Elohim and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Again, no one but the high priest could actually go into the Holy of Holies. So I say all this, can we see that Revelation is actually full of Yom Kippur symbolism? The book of Revelation is the final day of atonement. The seven trumps, the 7 years, the seven final Yom Kippur feasts. The sprinkling of the blood of the goat to Yahweh 7 times. Now let's read about the sixth trumpet of Revelation. That's chapter 9, starting in verse 13. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard the voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before Elohim. So what was put on the four horns of the golden altar before Yahweh in the holy place by the high priest? It was the blood of the goat to Yahweh on the Yom Kippur service. Yeshua is the replacement for the goat to Yahweh. He is the goat to Yahweh. So the voice that can be heard coming from these four horns of the altar is the voice of Yeshua's blood, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. So the four angels bound at the great river Euphrates are released to kill a third of mankind. Then in verse 16, now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. So what horsemen is this? Well, to figure out who these are not to do with the angels from the river Euphrates. This is referring back up to when the fifth angel sounded at the beginning of chapter 9, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass or the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of Elohim on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. So at this time, during the fifth trump, they are not given authority to kill them, but only to torment them for 5 months. Verse 6 says, in those days men will seek death, and it will not find them. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. So these are the horses and the horsemen that verse 16 is referring back to. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. Back down to verse 16. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And this was in the sixth trump. So they were not allowed to kill anyone in the fifth seal, but after the sixth angel sounds, these are the horsemen. Verse 18, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. So we see at the sixth trump, a third of mankind is killed by the four angels who had been bound at the river Euphrates, and then another third of mankind was killed by these horsemen that came from the bottomless pit after the fifth trump. So that's two-thirds of mankind that are killed at the sixth trump. Now let's read Zechariah chapter 13, verses 7 through 9. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says Yahweh of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones, and it shall come to pass in all the land, says Yahweh, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. I will bring the one-third through the fire, this would be the fire in Revelation, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, Yahweh is my Elohim. So we can see this fulfilled in Revelation at the sixth seal. Two-thirds of the earth is cut off, and one-third is refined through the fire. But those sheep who have accepted Yeshua as their replacement, he is the scapegoat, he is the ram, he is the replacement, and they become, or we become, the sheep, the 144,000 being the first fruits of them, of a great multitude, those sheep will have salvation and will be saved out of great tribulation. To finish up today's program, let's look at vomit. Leviticus 18, verses 20 through 30. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her, and you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, or abortion. Nor shall you profane the name of your Elohim. I am Yahweh. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. Do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all of these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done, who were before you, and thus the land is defiled, lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the person who commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore you shall keep my ordinance, so that you do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves by them. I am Yahweh your Elohim. Also Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. You shall therefore keep all of my statutes and my judgments and perform them, that the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out. And this, of course, is again said after he lists all of the sexual immorality and perversions that the pagans or the inhabitants of the land were doing. And also, we can see these abominations not only taking place in the Western countries, mainly the United States, but also being promoted as normal and good by these governments. So if the land was to vomit them out back then, Yahweh does not change. The land will vomit us out now. It vomited out the pagans before the Israelites took over the land, and it will vomit us out as well, because we are following in these abominable sexual perversions. Chapter 20, verse 23 goes on to say, "And you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation which I am casting out before you, for they commit all these things, and therefore I abhor them. But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am Yahweh your Elohim, who has separated you from the peoples. You shall therefore distinguish between clean animals and unclean, between unclean birds and clean. And you shall not make yourselves abominable by beast or by bird, or by any kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy to me, or set apart to me, for I, Yahweh, am holy, or set apart, and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. A man or a woman who is a medium or who has a familiar spirit shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them." So when sexual immorality and abominations take place in a land, the land will vomit those committing these abominations and or turning a blind eye to them out of the land. Let's read Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of Elohim. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot, so you're lukewarm. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire." Remember we read earlier that a third will be refined through the fire? "That you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches or assemblies." So for sexual abominations, we are told that the land will vomit us out. the lukewarm church that is neither hot nor cold is going to be vomited out if they do not repent. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.